Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
It's Fan Mail Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We're going to take a bit of a break from our series on gospel principles to respond to some comments that have been made on a YouTube video, or I should say a number of YouTube videos, Eric, that you have posted of me discussing the gold plates with people down at the Mormon Miracle Pageant.
Yeah, one of the things that I've been doing for about 3 years, 4 years, is to just go down there with a camera and film some of the conversations. I have found that a lot of our website viewers like to see videos to help them to better understand what this religion is all about, and to see in action some of the folks who are down there, like yourself, talking about issues related to Mormonism is a big help in the evangelistic ways of doing things. And so I have probably put on to our website, mrm.org, 4 or 5 different videos of you talking about the plates. In fact, one I did from last year, you condensed it into 5 minutes. But it's fun to see you interact with people as they bring up the same arguments over and over again and how you're able to respond to those.
Well, some of them are not very nice, but we wanted to address some of them because, folks, I just don't have the time to watch all these YouTube videos and see what people are saying. And interesting enough, a lot of Christians who are up on the subject do tend to respond to a lot of the Mormons that make some very bad arguments. And as you've said, a lot of these arguments we've heard many, many times. I don't think there's really any new argument that I have heard about the gold plates. I've been doing this for so long. I've written so much on this. I've read so much on this, that there really is not any new argument that is at least plausible, although you're going to read one that I've not heard, which is really not plausible at all, that we're going to tackle.
And let's just set this up. You go down there at Manti on the corner before the Mormon Miracle Pageant, and you have a wagon. And in that wagon, what do you have, Bill?
I have a replica set of gold plates made out of sheet metal. They look just like the pictures that most Mormons have seen of the plates. Now, mine, as I said, are made of sheet metal. Sheet metal is certainly not nearly as heavy as gold would be. And so my plates only weigh 80 pounds. I've actually weighed them, and that's what they weigh, 80 pounds. Now, of course, if you wanted to try to lift 200 pounds, and we're going to talk about the weight of 200, what does that really mean? You would have to take my plates, double them, and then add another half a stack to come up with 200 pounds.
And the way that you engage people as they're walking by is you say, lift the gold plates. And you'll sometimes get teenagers who think, okay, I can, and they don't look so heavy, but when you lift them, it's very difficult. And that's how you get your conversation started.
I asked them, first of all, do you believe that Joseph Smith had gold plates? And they always say yes. My next question is, well, do you believe the plates were made of the metal gold? They also answer yes to that. Now, one of the objections that you are going to read is a person acting as if I don't know that they could have been made of an alloy. I am certainly aware of that. I know of that argument. I've heard that argument. But let's talk about the gold aspect first.
Okay. All right, here's an objection from in one of the videos, and it says in capital letters, this guy is talking about a solid 1 cubit foot of gold weighing 1,200 pounds. The Book of Mormon plates were not solid, but were gold leaves about the thickness of aluminum foil with air between each leaf.
Now, that's one I have not heard. The aluminum foil argument. Now, that's quite fascinating. I want somebody to go and find some aluminum foil in their kitchen and pull out a sheet and tell me how easy it would be to engrave any type of character on aluminum foil. Now, remember, you've got to do it both sides. But to try to engrave on aluminum foil, I will say, is impossible.
It's going
to
rip.
How thick were the plates? Joseph Smith said that they were about as thick as common tin. Some Mormon apologists have given that an actual measurement of 0.02 inches. Going by that seems to make much more sense than assuming it was just as thin as aluminum foil. But let's think about that. If you were to take aluminum foil, if this is the argument this person wants to use, and lay aluminum foil on top of itself over and over and over again for the thickness of 6 inches, which is what Joseph Smith said it would be, the thinness of that foil, the thinness of gold even, because thin gold is very pliable. The weight of the gold plate, let's assume it's gold, the weight of the plate would be heavy enough to flatten out the plates that are below it. And if you keep stacking these plates on top of each other, because gold is so pliable, they would tend to squeeze out any type of air gaps, which of course is the argument that a lot of the apologists have to use. They need those air gaps. Why do they need air gaps? Because they know gold plates stacked on top of each other without an air gap would be way too heavy to carry. Why do you think they use this argument? They know it would be too heavy, so they need to get the weight of the plates down to a manageable level, which shows they do not believe there was a miracle involved for Joseph Smith to carry these plates around. You stack these plates up, and what happens? Because they are so pliable, the plates tend to take on what we would think would be like a solid block of gold, because there's no air in between the plates. The weight of the plates themselves is pushing the air out and flattening out the plates. This is why they have to go to an alloy theory. They have to try to add another metal that's a little bit lighter and has a little more tensile strength that might have some air gaps in it.
Here's another response somebody gave. McKeever is very aware that he is not telling the truth regarding the weight of the plates. He is pretending that they were solid gold, but they were not. They, quote, had the appearance of gold, end quote, according to witnesses, and he ignores testimony from several eyewitnesses that they weighed about 40 pounds. He has poisoned your mind with his untruths.
First of all, let's tackle the weight that the so-called witnesses give for the plates. It is totally irrelevant, and this is why it's irrelevant. What they are testifying to is what they think were gold plates, because they never saw gold plates. The plates were always covered up, either in a box or wrapped in some kind of cloth. Whatever weight they're giving is what they think are the weight of gold plates, but they don't know what's wrapped up. If Smith is not telling the truth, then whatever he has inside is probably not what he claimed them to be. So that argument that, well, they lifted them and they felt like they were 30 pounds or felt like 40 pounds is totally irrelevant. It's totally irrelevant. In a courtroom, it would be thrown out because they don't really know what they're lifting.
Well, a lot of Mormons are going to argue that these witnesses saw the plates. What would you say to that?
We know for a fact in Volume 1 of the Documentary History of the Church that the three witnesses saw them in a vision. They didn't see tangible plates. They had to pray in order to see the plates in the first place. I often tell people, you know why you can see my plates without praying? Because mine are real. The reason they had to pray before they saw their plates is because something was going to take place in a vision. They were not tangible plates. It actually says that they saw them in a vision.
Another argument on the website for the YouTube video that we're talking about says that Bill McKeever claims that he read the Book of Mormon, but somehow he failed to read the part of the Book of Mormon that says in 1 Nephi 19:1 that Nephi made the plates from ore. Ore is from more than one metal. I believe there was just enough gold mixed with the other metals to make it so that the plates wouldn't rust. Emma Smith herself said it was about the same weight as a 50-pound flour sack.
I don't care if the plates were made of an alloy, if they were an ore and they had some other metal besides gold. The question is how much gold would you need to keep the plates from oxidizing or forming electrolysis, if you will? He says rust. You would need a certain amount of gold to make that work. Let me just read you what Reed Putnam, who's an LDS metallurgist, and Reed Putnam is the one who came up with this Tumbaga theory, which is a Central American alloy. This is what he said, and this is found in the Improvement Era, September 1966, Volume 69, Number 9, page 830. He said, a block of tumbaga of the mentions indicated for the plates of the Book of Mormon, and with 8-carat alloy and 3% native impurity, would weigh 106.88 pounds. Using such a block as a beginning point, 50% of the weight should be subtracted for airspace. 50%. Hmm. Now, that's an arbitrary number, but he understands he's got to have a significant amount of airspace in between each plate. Why? Folks, he's trying to get the weight of the plates down to where someone can actually carry them like Joseph Smith allegedly carried them for a distance of 3 miles, jumping over a log, getting into fights with three different people, and running at the top of his speed away from his attackers. He knows there's no miracle involved in this. This is how we know the miracle theory is just something that we find lay people using. The apologists stay away from that. They know better than that. Putnam goes on to say, if each plate were 0.02 of an inch thick, it would occupy up to 0.05 of an inch in the stack, and there would be 20 plates to the inch. The unsealed portion would then consist of 40 plates or 80 sides. If the plates have been made from a 12-carat gold alloy, they would have weighed 86.83 pounds. That's about the weight of my plates. If you're going to say that there's a 0.05-inch gap in between each plate, and you take the number of the unsealed plates down to, as he said, 40 or 80 sides, let's not forget the original 1830 edition of the Book of Mormon was over 580 pages, typed pages on paper with ink. We're supposed to believe that 580 typed pages on paper, but we're going to get that out of 40 plates or 80 sides?
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. They make their own case worse by coming up with this air gap theory, but I understand why they have to do it.
Well, I think you have hit on a great tactic out at Manti because of the videos that I've shot, and I have put more than 140 of my videos on YouTube. I'm going to say 4 out of 5 responses I get are on your gold plate videos. And I mean, the average video that I have has probably 50 to 60 responses, and people are going back and forth. So I think you've hit the underbelly here, perhaps, of an issue, the Book of Mormon. If you take away the Book of Mormon, you take away this religion. And I think that's why people are protesting so loudly.
They understand that if somehow the Book of Mormon story, as told by Joseph Smith or told by the Mormon Church, and that's what I always have to remind Mormons, when I'm telling them what I understand of the gold plates, I'm reading their sources. I'm going by what their sources have said. It's the lay Mormon who has to invent all these other details that the church does not support. But you're absolutely right. If you can demonstrate to a Latter-day Saint that the gold plate story is bogus, it's going to seriously undermine their faith in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The leaders of the LDS Church say they produced the manual, Gospel Principles, to reinforce their members' study of the core doctrines of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, during the months of February and March, MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson are reviewing Gospel Principles to see what this church manual has to say on topics such as God, Scripture, obedience, and the eternal nature of the family. For this radio series, MRM has produced an extensive PDF file that includes a summary and quotable quotes from each chapter, along with a short biblical response. This would be a wonderful way to follow along throughout this series. And during February and March, we are offering this PDF file for electronic donations of any amount. Just go to mrm.org and click on the orange donate button on the right side. You'll be emailed a copy of the file within 2 weeks. Your generous gifts allow us to be successful in this important ministry. Again, go to mrm.org and make your electronic donation today. From all of us here at MRM, thank you for your generous support.